Welcome to the Fifth Kind.
Vladimir Sherbak and Maxim Akulov from the Al-Farabi Kazakh National University and the Fezenkov Astrophysical Institute have devoted 13 years to the Human Genome Project, mapping human DNA coding. Together, they have concluded that human beings were intelligently designed with what they describe as arithmetic patterns and symbolic language encoded into our DNA. Makulov and Sherbak have identified 9 multiples of 37 scattered through our genetic code. Speaking to New Scientist, Makulov described the pattern as very hard to ascribe to natural processes. In 1985, Carl Sagan wrote his only novel, and it became the movie Contact in 1997. The story revolves around a signal broadcast to planet Earth from a distant and advanced civilization. And the clue in the signal, that it is a non-random signal, that it's come from an intelligent source, is a repetition of prime numbers in the frequency of the signal. That is something that couldn't occur naturally. This is from an intelligent source. Where did Carl Sagan get that wonderful idea of the repetition of primes being a signature? It's a strange coincidence, because Vladimir Sherbak and Maxim Akulov, who are two top authorities in the field of human DNA research, have identified exactly that signature in the DNA coding for human beings. In our genetic code, there occur 9 repetitions of multiples of 37 in our DNA. And the researchers point out that the likelihood of that happening by chance are 1 in 10 trillion. In a mastery of understatement, Makulov explained, "It was clear right away that the code has a non-random structure. Sooner or later, we have to accept the fact that all life on Earth carries the genetic code of our extraterrestrial cousins, and that evolution is not what we think it is." The Russian physicist Yuri Rumer first identified one set of repetitions back in 1966. Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of the double helix structure of DNA, and senior physicist Leslie Orgel added their voice to support the theory that the origins of human DNA are extraterrestrial. In the 21st century, Maxim Makulov and Vladimir Sherbak have added the weight of solid data and empirical support. This is information we've only had in the last decade. So how did Carl Sagan know this in 1985? It wouldn't be the first time that privileged information had been passed on to a movie maker or a scriptwriter. But on the other hand, I happen to know that Carl Sagan was a student of the world's ancient mythologies, and in particular the Babylonian and Sumerian. Did he find something buried there that gave him this clue of what we were to find? Makulov and Sherbak argue that those who intervened in human evolution very deliberately left their signature behind in our DNA coding for us to find. In fact, modern film lore is littered with narratives that suggest an ET intervention in the evolution of Homo sapiens. And one very interesting clue comes in the 20th century novels and movie franchise of Planet of the Apes, because in that story, a higher species, in that case the humans, genetically modify the apes to become more useful as slaves, in effect. The apes can do the hard yakka, the heavy lifting kind of work, if we can just modify them to be a little bit more intelligent. And of course, all kinds of trouble ensues from that decision. But that idea is not an original one. It can be found in the Sumerian narrative of beginnings. In their stories of beginnings, humanity is engineered by sky people who come to planet Earth, modify the beings that are here to do the hard yakka and heavy lifting for them. In the Mayan tradition of the Popol Vuh, it's very frank about the engineering of humanity. That narrative describes the arrival on planet Earth of those who engineer, and it's the story of Kukulkan or Quetzalcoatl. And those entities have a conversation among themselves that goes like this: let us make avatars for ourselves to do the work and bring us our food. It's the same story that emerges in the Planet of the Apes. Did Pierre Boulle create this story out of a knowledge of ancient mythologies? Or is this another example of storytelling accessing information from a wider field of consciousness? Do these narratives keep emerging because in our storytelling we're actually remembering something from our prehistoric past?
How would you account for this discrepancy between you and the Twin Night Thought?
Well, I don't think there is any question about it. It can only be attributable to human error. This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
In 1967, there was an episode of the first season of Star Trek called The Return of the Archons. It was written by Boris Sobelman and Gene Roddenberry. And in the storyline, there is a planet populated by human beings who are kept in order by a priesthood that acts as intermediaries between them and a kind of deity figure. And as Captain Kirk and the crew explore what's going on, they realize that the priesthood is really acting on behalf of a computer program. There is no God there. It's just them, the computer program, and the subjected, pacified human population. And it's a rather strange echo of what we see in the pages of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. Because through the history of the Old Testament, we can find moments where we're looking at a society of human colonies, each ruled over by another kind of entity called Elohim or a Bene Elohim. And they're not human, they are a higher species. And it's as if humanity's been carved up for management by the colonizers. But it's not an easy relationship between these higher powers, and the Bene Elohim often send the humans out to war against each other because the Elohim are in competition with one another for resources. As we get further into the story of the Old Testament, it becomes unclear whether the powerful ones, the Elohim, are still there, or if the prophets are still in place and the priesthoods are still in place and the totems are there for consultation, but there are no other gods present in the picture, even though the structure of priesthoods and prophets is still present. How did Boris Sobelman and Gene Roddenberry chance upon that storyline? Again, it could be because they were scholars of the ancient mythologies, which I believe they were. But often in our storytelling, we start telling the truth without fully realizing that's what we're doing. Now you might say, well, that's a very interesting idea, Paul, but is there any way of testing that? We had the opportunity in 2003 to test one of the oldest stories, if not the oldest story, of human civilization, and it's the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Thanks for watching The Fifth Kind. This video is in association with Paul Wallace. Author and researcher Paul Wallace probes the world's ancient mythologies for clues about the origins of the human race and has published several books in the field of mysticism and spirituality. In the last decade, his work has probed the world's ancient mythologies for the insights they hold on our origins as a species and our potential as human beings. You can find out more information and links to Paul Wallace in the description below. If you would like to support this channel and get involved in new video ideas, please check out our Patreon page, also linked within the description. If you like our videos and would like to see more, don't forget to click the bell icon to turn on channel notifications so you never miss a new video.